Hello and welcome to the Rigori podcast, where the only Como we like is the 1950s crooner Perry. I'm Giancarlo. This is very true, and we'll get to that in great detail later. But I'm Giancarlo Rinaldi, and I'm joined as always by the King of the Lagoons, my cousin Marco. Marco, how's it going?
It has been an up and down week.
It definitely has.
We're recording this just after the Venezia game today, so it is definitely more up at the moment.
Yeah, we'll get to all matters Serie B in later in the pod. We like to, you know, it's sort of tease you there, keep you. This is, we'll give you the appetizers, and then we'll get to the main course, which is really pretty juicy this week with the midweek round of fixtures in particular, producing some controversy. Much less so in Serie A, as you say, Roma, Juve, we don't even need to wait for that to record, because I mean, who knows, two rubbish teams playing each other. It would have been a decent game, but I think, you know, the main matters really now in Serie A in particular are more down towards the bottom end of the table. Really, that's where we're mm-hmm. getting into the kind of the excitement. And on that very subject, we had that most Italian of results at the weekend with the Forlorn, as branded by the Rigori podcast, Forlorn Sassuolo, doing the double over Inter. I mean, how Italian a result was that, Marco?
Yeah, just very typically Italian, sadly. You know, Inter, nothing to play for, Sassuolo needing those points. And look what happens. What a surprise. You know, it happens every season in Italy, and it shouldn't be a surprise. And it's happening in Serie B as well, which we'll get onto. But, you know, it is. It's just the Italian way at the end of the season. And if I was an Udinese fan, I wouldn't be particularly happy with Inter today.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think I watched the highlights. I mean, Inter had their chances, they had a goal chalked off by VAR, so they did, but, you know, they put out a weaker team. But I don't know how you address it, because you actually see it everywhere now, really. I mean, even in Scottish League Two, you had Stranraer beating Stenhouse Muir, the runaway champions in League Two, beaten by the bottom team who now go into the playoffs. So, you know, a wee bit, I don't know if there is anything you can actually do to legislate for that. It is just the luck of the draw that if you get teams towards the end of the season, they've got nothing to play for, and be that at the top end or the bottom end of the table, it is an undoubted advantage. And you only very rarely get in Italy teams that, I mean, because we saw another couple of games today, really, that were played out as draws, you know, at Cagliari-Lecce. Although, I have to say, from what I saw of that one, that would looked quite exciting. Less so Empoli's 0-0 draw with Frosinone, which was one for only the hardcore Serie A fan. And it is that point that fa classifica, as they say, you know, it moves them one point further, nearer to safety with a game to go. And, you know, and it does, but it is a bit unedifying when you think that, you know, if Sassuolo had played Inter 2 weeks ago, there's no way they would have been coming away with the points. But hey ho, there's the luck of the draw with that one. And Fiorentina, I think, just to touch on their game, which just finished as well, I mean, doing their bit in that sense, indeed. I think, by showing that they too are on holiday, really. I have very little left to play for, I suppose, in Serie A. You know, an eighth or a ninth place finish that, you know, quite possibly could mean European football again, but they've got bigger fish to fry after their midweek battle with the Club Brugge, whatever you want to call them. I mean, I don't know if you saw. I mean, there's not much to say. I mean, I'd say congratulations to Verona really on the weekend's game, that they deserved their win. And, you know, maybe was taking twinning a bit far by letting them have the victory. But Fiorentina fielded a very, very much a second string. And the curse of Terracciano hit Oliver Christensen again as he dropped the ball at the feet of Verona's striker and then had to bring him down. And then Verona got another good goal. Noslin hitting a thunderbolt. There was a suspicion of handball in the build-up, but for whatever reason, VAR didn't see it. I don't know. It was, if it was, it was a minuscule touch. And the only other thing of note really was Gaetano Castrovilli getting a goal and becoming, I mean, it's been a long time for him, long journey back after a bad injury. So nice for him to get a goal. The 18th different scorer for Fiorentina this season. Amazing. And he also hit the post. Which made was the 21st time this season that Fiorentina have hit the post, which also maybe tells a story. But I was going to rewind to midweek briefly just to look at that game, because I mean, unusually for me, despite there only being one goal of an advantage, I'm feeling quite confident about Fiorentina's chances, even though, you know, Bruges looked like they might well win the Belgian title. But I thought they were pretty limited in their football and really, you know, I mean, they took advantage right enough of the chances that they had, but they didn't look any great shakes. I mean, did you see much of that game, Mark?
I didn't actually see that much of that game, but I saw that you had tweeted that it was a typical Fiorentina performance in the way that the goals went in. And I think that is, that's what I took from it, having read about it, certainly.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, you know, Fiorentina, Ricky Sotil scored a lovely, lovely goal to open the score in. And for the bad news is that he's probably was in the best form of his life, but he's now injured his collarbone and is out for the rest of the season. So that, you know, it was good and bad in that. And then, really, you know, I feel almost there should be something where it's worth half a goal, because he scores a worldie like that, curling it into the top corner. And then Fiorentina getting a mess at the back, as per usual. A ball that is going nowhere is kicked up onto Biragi's arm, and we know now in the modern VAR era that's going to be a penalty. They tucked the penalty away, 1-1. I mean, on the balance of play, didn't deserve to be at 1-1. And then Fiorentina, you know, fought back. Gallo Belotti getting a goal, which was a big thing. Although, funnily, I was laughing with my son because he scored his goal, lovely, turned, swiveled, belted at home. Then he tried the same thing again 5 minutes later and missed the ball completely. And it was there exactly where it had been before after he attempted. So still a few bit of fine-tuning for the Gallo. But then Bruges went down to 10 men, but still managed to equalise. We've got a big guy, please, up front, who's signed for Brentford. I think Thiago, big striker. I mean, certainly a big unit, and he held off his man well. But just a big long ball through the middle. But by kind of dint of perseverance, Fiorentina did get the winner through Nzola. And as I say, not that, you know, I'm sure they'll be, you know, on their home ground, and they are in amazing form, other than, you know, the Fiorentina defeat. They've done nothing but win in the last few while Bruges show. But it's a great opportunity, I think, for Fiorentina. To me, in terms of football, they're significantly superior to the Belgians.
And the other semi-final as well went...
Went nicely in a way, although, I mean, you know, you never know, no, you know, you exactly, say that because, I mean, the final is in Athens, so, you know, a Greek team in Athens maybe wouldn't be such a Greek team, and it would also mean crossing paths with Stephen Jovetic, you know, so, I mean, that would be typical of Fiorentina to get to the final and lose with a goal from a former player. But let's not get ahead of us. As I say, that was probably, well, I don't know, was it the pick of the European results? I mean, I guess maybe Atalanta getting their draw away to Marseille leaves their hopes alive. Scamacca certainly making a strong case for Italy inclusion.
Yeah. I mean, from an Italian point of view, that's certainly a good thing that he has found his form. But, I actually ended up watching the worst game, which was the Roma game, because, you know, I felt that Roma were just outclassed in that game. Even though, you know, Lukaku hit the bar when it was 0-0, and then Abraham with that miss at the end of an open net, you know, could have kept them in the tie. I think with the form that Leverkusen are in, I think that tie is over. I just can't see
it. Yeah. I think that's, you know, the best case really for Italian football is an Atalanta Leverkusen final. I don't think Marseille are that great, but yeah, they're in amazing form and in a better league than Bruges are in. So, you know, that's going to be a very, very tall order to turn that around, which is a shame but I think, you know, realistically, De Rossi's work still stands up to scrutiny thus far, and that it was always going to be a difficult game. A shame. I think they maybe suffered a wee bit of stage fright in such a big game, you know, didn't quite do themselves justice. But in reality, you know, they're in such form, it was always going to be a tall order. So it may be a case of fingers crossed Atalanta and Fiorentina make those finals. And, you know, I think, well, Atalanta, obviously, it would be another tough ask, because, I mean, just what we've said, they're going to be a tough final. I think Fiorentina, whoever they play, would think they would have a chance. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are maybe external factors. If it is a Greek side in Greece, then, you know, that presents its own difficulties. But they play on Wednesday night, Fiorentina, the return game of that. And as I say, to me, if they can play their football, I think they've got every chance of going through, because I thought Bruce looked quite...
I worry now for Fiorentina.
Yeah, well, I do too. I mean, exactly. The curse of the podcast. And I mean, no, in fairness to Bruce, they took what... You know, this is the Fiorentina way, though, is to outplay an opponent, create many more chances, but not actually stick them away. So, you know, it wouldn't be any surprise if they go and do exactly the same thing and then get sucker punched a couple of times and that's it, they're out. It'd be a shame to end the Italiano era that way, but, you know, it might be fitting. Some would say that they are a team that likes to spurn chances, but we'll be back anyway to discuss that next week. One, before dropping down to Serie B, just a quick note on these irate fans everywhere that don't want new managers. We've got Milan. I mean, they don't want the manager they've got. Pioli's, exactly. Pioli's not yeah. good enough. But then it seemed to be that Julian Lopetegui was going to become Lopetegui. They don't want him. Fans are in protest, he's not worthy of the great club or whatever. And then Pioli, who's not worthy of Milan, apparently not worthy of Napoli either. They're up in arms. I mean, what do you make of this, Marco? I mean, it's a puzzling phenomenon to me. It seems great sense of entitlement to think...
Yeah, that, I mean, know, fans will always voice their opinion. I think they're entitled to do that. Whether the club should listen to them all the time is the question. I mean... you know, did I think Lopetegui was an exciting appointment for Milan? Not really. And so even not as a Milan fan, I can kind of understand their feelings. But to be honest, I'm a bit surprised that it's had an influence, which suggests to me that the owners are a bit shaky in terms of their project and everything, because they shouldn't really care at that point. If they think that's the right appointment, then they should be making it. And let the results play out and show that they were right. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know who Milan fans are thinking is going to come in and take them to glory.
Jurgen Klopp, probably, right. I think, or something like that. I don't know. I mean, I think there's two things here that are interesting. One is it a product of the kind of the social media era, mm-hmm. where you know, normally you would see fans might have protested at the game or they might have done this, whereas you'll be getting bombarded, probably the club's social media is getting bombarded. The hashtag, certainly Lopetegui, started to get some traction. And, you know, is it a symptom of that kind of phenomenon? And also, is it, I mean, I don't like to say it, but is it sort of delusions of grandeur or memories of a time going by where Milan are struggling to come get to grips with the fact that they're not, it's not the Sacchi and kind of Berlusconi era. It is, like it or like it not, you know, changed times, new owners, and they're still a giant club. They're still a big club, and you know, they're right to expect, as we've said on the pod, Lopetegui not a greatly exciting name. But you know, if there is a project there, you know, then you would think that they can carry it through. It just, as I say, it might not bring the Champions League overnight. I think those days of winning it kind of back to back are possibly gone for the time being, and you maybe have to take a longer term view. But I don't know, as I say, to me that's two things, is kind of the crumbling under the pressure of Twitter or whatever, and but also perhaps just the unrealistic expectations of all Italian football, really, because just we're not up to Champions League standard other than maybe Inter, and I guess that's possibly all the more galling for Milan fans.
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely right, and I think it is an issue, and there is, I suppose, a sense of entitlement. It's difficult because I always think that fans, you know, the club is nothing without its fans,
yeah,
so they're entitled
to
their opinion. I go back to what I said before, which is I think that if the owners have made a decision and they have a project in mind and they have identified someone as that person, then yes, sometimes these appointments will be unpopular, but you have to kind of back it. Because now it looks like they're being bullied by their fans into whoever they end up appointing. And that in itself could have longer term problems.
Doesn't seem like the right way to go, but hee-ho, anyway. Well, enough appetizer, enough preamble. Let's get to the real fillet steak of this edition. Quick mention before, and we're dropping down to Serie B. Parma promoted, hats off to them, been a great season. I do find it, I'm so old that people say, you know, back where they belong. But I can remember when Parma didn't exist, hardly. So it's an interesting concept, you know, back where they belong. Because, yes, in the 1990s, they were a mainstay of Serie A and they were a great team. But they came from almost nothing. You know, if you'd asked somebody in the 1960s and 1970s, Parma were a bit like Coleman, perhaps? We'll get to them. But, you know, and then they did do it all. I mean, again, not to be too brutal, but they did it all on money that turned out to not really, you know, that team. I mean, I don't know how many times I've seen that tweeted out. What a team Parma had. And it's true.
Yeah.
They did have amazing players, but they really couldn't afford, to have those amazing players. So, you know, mixed feelings about that. But I mean, I saw Parma win the Cup Winners' Cup at Wembley. I saw them beat Benfica in a semi-final as well. So I've got a lot of fondness for them. So nice to have them back. But the real talking points came up midweek in Serie B. And, I mean, I imagine, Marco, you're still raging about what went on.
Yes, in short. I mean, I hope people are buckled in and ready for an extended episode here, because it was a complete... It was, sadly, the other side of the Italian football system where... You get. I know there's a saying, isn't there? It's like, don't misinterpret malice for incompetence or something like that. Serie B refereeing is atrocious, and I've said that all season.
Yeah.
But the decisions on Wednesday, coupled with the games that they were made in and the timing of the season and all that sort of thing, were. Enraging, and yes, I'll hold my hands up. I'm biased here. I'm a Venezia fan, and the decisions didn't favour me. So I'm obviously going to say this, and I'm sure you'll come in and play devil's advocate. But I will. I'm going to have my rant
first.
Go for it. For those that are listening that don't know, so Como were playing Cittadella, which I had said not an easy game, and we were away to Catanzaro, a very difficult game. The Catanzaro were fifth. And Como, first of all, dealing with that game, they were losing, got an equaliser, and then 94th minute score their great winner to send the stadium into raptures. But there's a foul on the goal, and Gorini, the Cittadella manager afterwards, has a rant about VAR and, you know, what's the point of it and all of this sort of stuff, because it shouldn't have been allowed. Then cut to Catanzaro again. We go 1-0 down. There was a sign of things to come when the game got called off because of a huge storm, hailstorm that came along. We went 1-0 down. Ended up going 2-1 up. Then Sverko got sent off for a second booking for. Honestly, I don't think it was a booking, especially taking into account the fact that you're playing in a swimming pool. It was a foul, yes, but not a second booking. Send off, then they score. Then in the 94th minute, their striker jumps, literally jumps. You can see the angles, you can go and look at this. I know I sound biased and I'm fully aware of that. But he jumps without being touched, and the ref not only gives a penalty, doesn't check the VAR screen. So what's the point of VAR? And then Joronen saves the penalty, and then he gets to take it. The ref says, no, take it again. Because I think Jaiolo's toe was over the line in the penalty box. You know, it made no difference to the way the goal that Yurinen saved it. And yeah, then, of course, they scored. So, you know, what I'm concerned about, and I tweeted this, I don't like to be someone that, you know, these conspiracies and, you know, is there a conspiracy if you've got money and all, because it sounds like sour grapes, and maybe it is sour grapes, but it is also Italy, and we know these things can happen, and we know that Como have a lot of money, and whether Como did it, I'm not saying they did, but I know that the people in the FIGC probably want a nice new rich club with a nice story in Serie A. I'm sure that's very helpful to them. So whether there's pressure on the referees that way either. Now, it could all be incompetence. I find it astonishing that that penalty that Catanzaro got wasn't at least looked at by the referee, because it wasn't a penalty. So yeah. How can he not go and look at the screen? I don't understand that.
No, I watched all the incidents back just to see, you know, has Marco finally lost his marbles and, you know, he's clutching at straws. But, I mean, to me, no is the answer. I mean, well, you may have lost your marbles, but not for this particular reason. And also that the incidents unfolded almost to more neutralise almost exactly as you've described them, which does fuel, you know, let's say there's no conspiracy, nonetheless, it fuels a conspiracy theory. I thought particularly your game, I mean, the looking at the Como one, probably they should have gone and looked at it, but I've seen a lot, I had a degree of sympathy with the referee there, because players do go down and roll around all the time in Italy to try to get a decision, and there was a man lying on the ground, and, you know, I guess, you know, you give these, you don't give this. So that, less sympathy. The other two, though, the red card and the penalty, were nonsensical. The red card looked like a shoulder-to-shoulder and barely a foul, but the guy did scream as if he'd been shot. So, you know, maybe that swayed the referee, but he seemed in a hurry to get out the red card, which then, you know, that does lead to... And the penalty was, well... I would say hilarious, but I would say you weren't laughing, because it looked, I mean, maybe the watery conditions, because he did leap like a salmon through his feet back. I mean, there must have been some, he must have felt something. I think there may have been contact there, but he flipped his legs up in the air and leapt over. And as you say, to only compound the horror of that was the fact that your goalkeeper made a great save, and then under some minute technical, I mean, I know rules are rules, but just the same, that seemed like rubbing salt in the wounds to give a comical penalty, and then, you know, make the poor goalie try and save it again.
Which he nearly did,
you know, and so, but it has really, it's a shame, because almost I would say it would be better for Serie B just to have a straight playoff between Como and Venezia for that place, you know, go head to head rather than
with
one of them.
Serie A ref, please, at least.
rather than one of them having to. And I mean, even, well, we're just at the end, and I mean, an epic victory today, which at least gave you something to smile about. But it looks to me, on what we were saying earlier about the results kind of being decided, you know, teams with something left to play for, it looks to me like it's going to be Como in that automatic spot and Venezia, because they're both playing teams that have nothing left to play for in the final week. I mean, is there a glimmer of hope in the Marco Rinaldi mind?
I mean, there is a hope, and maybe it's a naive hope given everything we've just discussed about how these things work. But, you know, we are only 2 points behind. If we win, Como draw, we have the better head-to-head, so it favours us if we're on the same points. So, in theory... Yes, we've still got that chance.
Do you know anyone in Cosenza?
Well, you know who I do know. You do know who I do know. Lo Squalo, the Francesco Forte is their centre forward, our great man of the previous promotion. It would be some sort of divine justice if Lo Squalo could score against Como as we beat Spezia. But we're both playing teams that have nothing left to play for. So the most likely thing is that we both win and that's it, and Como go up. And for all, you know, fair enough. Como have been on a great run, and they reinforced a lot in January. But it does stick in the craw, because if we had beaten Catanzaro, as I think we should have done, without that referee, then it would be us in the driving seat at this point
yeah.
in time.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. At least today, as you say, just to touch on that very quickly, we went 1-0 up. Then for the next 20 minutes, we played some of the worst football I've seen us play all season, allowing Ferrao Pisalo, or however you say it, I can never say the name properly.
Good riddance. Yeah, good riddance to them into Serie G, because they're relegated now.
They equalised, but then in the 94th minute, Poya Bell managed to score again to give us that victory and give us that chance. And, it was vital. But so we are in third place, which is vital for the playoffs when we probably get there, because it means we're at home for the semi-final, and then it means we're home for the second leg of the final if we get there. And if it's if the tie is a draw at that point, we go up because we finished higher up in the league. But I feel that we are, whether it's nerves or something, I feel that we are shaking a little bit.
Yeah.
I would much rather go and avoid the playoffs if at all possible. So yes. In Francesco Forte, we trust.
Well, I mean, there you go. I mean, it would be, as you say, it would be some sort of poetic justice. I mean, you have got the absolute outright bomber of Serie B and Poyampalo, another couple of goals today. And so, you know, I guess if things unfold, you know, if news comes through quickly of Como winning on Friday night, then, you know, I'd be tempted to week him off. Pack him in cotton wool and get him ready for those playoffs, because any of the other teams that come into it are going to be absolutely shit scared of facing him in the form he's in. But it's right to dream. That's what all football fans want to dream. I think that's the thing that's so annoying about these decisions, is that they puncture that dream. You want to, if you lose fair and square without any controversy, then, you know, fair enough, you hold your hands up and say that the better team won. But, you know, and certainly on the evidence I saw from your game in particular, that wasn't the case. There were a lot of key decisions. When I actually thought that when I saw the game had been suspended, that, you know, there was one of these great Italian fixes was in to get an extra 20 minutes to find out the result from the other game to play. But then I watched the highlights and I saw that there was no fix. It was God that intervened.
It was like playing at night time in the middle of the day at one point. It was so dark. It was incredible.
But we'll be here as always to chart that, and if it, you know, it gives us extra interest in the playoffs, because obviously the Serie A normal season, the Serie B normal season comes to an end on Friday night, so a lot of teams will be going off on holiday. But because there's such a big chunk of teams there, as I say, I'm pessimistic of Venezia's chances. I just think that the results will, it'll be one of these classic radio listening or whatever phone watching games where as soon as news comes that Como have scored, then Venezia will go behind and give up the ghost, really. But it's been a glorious battle for them, and I hope listeners have enjoyed listening to your torment through the season, and we'll probably
There is still a chance. Let's not give up yet.
Well, there's life, there's hope yet, absolutely. So we'll cling on to that, and as you say, maybe there's a couple of players there that feel as badly about Como as you do and can stick the knife in.
I have to say,
I'm
getting pretty tired of the plastic Como fans that are suddenly popping up.
It's amazing.
Really is annoying me.
It is amazing where these people have come from. Yeah. That's who knew?
Yeah, exactly.
So many people had a soft spot for Como, but there we go. We'll find out in time if that soft spot continues, if they don't make it up. That'd be very interesting. But we'll be back again next week. As I say, we'll have news of Fiorentina's hopefully successful trip into Europe. Who can see, fingers crossed, in Vincenzo Italiano, we trust. And then the miracle of Venezia to report on as well. So, you know, let your friends know just how epic a season it is. It has been an epic season for both of us in different ways and for Italian football more widely. And we'll be here right till the bitter end. So, you know, please share, let people know, and we'll be back again next week with more of the same nonsense.
Speak to you then.
Bye.